There's something in your mind you cannot hide. You can try everything, you'll be high in the end. There's something on your cheek that's blowing like a creek. Are there tears, or just dying memories? Keep doing what you do, but remember that anyway, you are the stolen thief. Keep saying what you say, but remember that everywhere, you'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief, my friend. Maybe you think the people would fall into your traps, but look better around you, there's nothing but your lies. You're lost in your mind without no compass. You can try to pinch yourself and wake up fast. Keep doing what you do, but at any way, you are the stolen thief. You keep saying what you say, but beaming but at everywhere, you'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief, my friend. But at any way, you are the stolen thief. I keep saying what you say, but remember at any way, you be the stolen thief. You be the stolen thief. You be the stolen thief. You be the stolen thief, my friend.
Night Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
It is Thursday night, and if you can hear my voice, then you are exactly where you need to be. I am your host, Rick Hale, and this is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Unfortunately, tonight, Karen Frazier, the actual, well, she is the host. I am usually the co-host. She will not be joining us tonight as she's not feeling well, so if everybody could just, send good thoughts, good feelings, whatever her way, so she'll feel good. Tonight, we got a good show for you guys lined up, and tonight we have Dan Guthrie on. He is one of the founding members of Haunted Entertainments, which is a talent agency, and yours truly does belong to that. And he is also the founder of Pampa, Texas Paranormal Research Society out of Pampa, Texas. And we're going to be talking to him about his investigations, some of the functions that he has coming up. Just finished off Frontier Paracon, and we're going to be going into Frontier Paracon 2 here in May. So, but first, there is something that I wanted to talk about. I caught a show today, actually. It was myself and the future world's greatest psychical researcher, my son Theo. We were watching Paranormal Witness. Now, Cheryl, if you want to, come on, we could talk about this real quick.
I'm here.
Okay, cool.
I think Chad's going to join us too because he's a fan.
Oh, Chad, you wanted to come on too, right?
Chad, are you there?
Chad. All right, right on.
There he is.
So now, and you know, anybody who you know takes a look at my Facebook page every now and then did notice that I put a. I'm sure you guys noticed too that I put a thing up there a couple days ago, talking about, oh my God, I'm so sick and tired of these television shows that are nothing but playground for thrill seekers. Now, I think you guys probably agree to some point, correct?
Yeah, I think. I mean, basically, it's about entertainment. If you don't have something that's entertaining, captures the audience's attention, sure. You're not going to have the viewers, and you're not going to be on the air. So, yeah. To some regard, they are all about entertainment.
I got a question about that, though.
Sure.
Then how come Ghost Hunter's been on so long?
Ouch.
You know what? I have been asked numerous times by Cheryl not to comment on Ghost Hunters.
Hey,
so I'm not even gonna. We're not even gonna go there. So.
I haven't asked you not to comment on Ghost Hunters.
But
I just I just said be respectful. That's all I said.
Right.
You have the right to your opinion.
That was
seriously.
That was a joke,
okay.
By
it,
the way.
It is my opinion. It is my opinion, and I understand that.
Yeah.
But then it's opinion that's shared by a lot of people. But we won't even get into that. But this show. That's on Sci-Fi, Paranormal Witness on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. I saw it earlier tonight, and I loved it. I thought it was great. It was like it mixed elements of a haunting with my ghost story, you know, and also putting some UFO and cryptozoology stories in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just a really well-done show, and it really respected people's stories, like the one that I saw. The family who they underwent the depredations, I guess you could say, of a really super malicious poltergeist. And unfortunately, though, this really malicious poltergeist won out in the end.
Yeah.
They actually had to leave their home. But I thought it was really respectful, and I thought it was a really well-done show. And, you know, I say, you know, well done to Sci-Fi, which is usually something I wouldn't say. But, but anyways, I think we're going to go to break a little bit early. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Dan Guthrie. And it should be a good show for everybody. And, you know, stick around because it's going to be live.
If you are a small donor, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
It's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Thank you. station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
And welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. I am your host for tonight, Rick Hale, and joining us tonight, we have a gentleman by the name of Dan Guthrie. Those of you who aren't familiar with him, Dan is a longtime host of Paranormal Radio as well as a lecturer. He has worked in the paranormal field for nearly a decade as the founder of the Pampa, Texas Paranormal Research Society, and he is also the founder of Haunted Entertainments. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that with him tonight. And we're also going to be talking with a little bit about all the conventions that that Dan puts together. So, Dan, welcome to the Underground.
Well, thank you for having me aboard.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for, coming on at the last second. And, all right. You know, Dan, there's something that I always like to ask whenever I have a fellow psychical researcher on the show. I always like to ask, what is it exactly that got you interested in this, rather odd field of inquiry?
Always have been since I was a child, mainly because of probably being super sensitive and kind of like having the ability of like the sixth sense.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, where I would see people, actually dead people, and no one else could. And so it was just something that I didn't know that I had the ability of until it was brought to my attention. And after that, I was just like, okay. So I learned it. I found out at a very young age. So, and right. I wrote about it in my book, A Haunted Life.
Oh, A Haunted Life. Okay. Now, is this something that, runs in your family? Because it runs in mine. And no?
No. Okay. If it did, it wasn't talked about, because I guess during that time, for them, it would probably be something that they would probably be put away for.
Okay. Okay. Would you say it was a real long time before you actually got into investigating the paranormal on your own or with a group?
Well, I wouldn't say quite investigating. It was more or less coming along on helping.
Okay.
I never had to deal with anything bad growing up all the way until my 30s. I've seen spirits all the time. They're just like looking at people, back and forth. As long as I didn't pay any attention to them, they didn't know I could see them, so they left me be.
Sure.
But I was at one of my jobs working nights one evening, and some stuff was going on, and I had a co-worker with me.
What kind of stuff, Dan?
Well, we were seeing shadow figures peeking around machinery and stuff, and of course I wasn't paying attention to it. I knew it was there, but my co-worker that was with me that night, I was in a building that you couldn't be by yourself. You always had to be paired up, because some machines that we run are very dangerous. And so my coworker that was with me was standing and watching or facing that way, and he saw the movement going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "What the heck was that?"
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him and I said, "What do you think it is?" He goes, "I don't know." And I said, "Well, just keep an eye out. You'll see." Sure enough, I did it again.
Yeah.
And so, I kind of freaked him out a little bit. And as time went on, after working nights, a few weeks later, things were actually picking up a little bit, to where we were actually hearing steel plates being moved around, air guns being blown off.
So so whatever was in your place of work actually had enough strength to physical manipulation, right?
Yes, but it wasn't what I thought it was, because it was disguising itself. To me, it was just a black shadow person.
Mm-hmm.
But to a point where I couldn't see what the heck it was. All I knew, it looked like it had spiked hair,
you know,
and it stood about 6 foot at this time, but it wasn't the only one that was in the building, because there was deaths that were out there in the plant.
Okay.
So we were seeing some other stuff that was going on too.
Mm-hmm.
But it was getting to the point that my coworkers couldn't stay over there working with me, because it would scare them too bad.
Okay.
And it got to the point where my lead man came over, because he didn't believe what was going on. And actually, before he actually came over, it was like two nights before this, mm-hmm. I had to go over to that building with another worker to go get something. And he came over to, and the lead man came over to see what we were doing. And we were maybe about a half a football length away, and he sees us turn down this hallway. And then he sees somebody walk across the walkway and following us. And then he starts walking towards us, you know, and we come back around the corner. And he goes, "Where's that third person?" And we go, "What third person?"
Right.
And he's like, "I just saw somebody follow you guys." And I just kind of chuckled, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, and the other guy that was with me kind of says, "Oh, so you did see it." You know, and so I started cracking up, and I said, "Well, there you go." Yeah. And but things progressed. This entity got to the point to where it was picking up stuff well over 100 pounds.
Okay, that's definitely not a human entity.
Yes, and but it was picking up steel objects and slamming it down.
Okay.
And so at this point, I was getting a little nervous because I knew for a fact that there was no normal spirit that could pick up something that heavy unless it was something demonic.
Sure.
So I started paying a little attention to what was going on. And it got so frightening one night that my coworker, a different coworker that was over there, got so scared, he just went home. He said, "F this."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to watch those F-bombs, dude.
Yeah. So he left and went over and told the lead man he was leaving. And the lead man came over and he stood with me for a little bit so I could finish up the job.
Okay.
And as I was running was a manual A. It was a huge one. Mm-hmm. Probably stood about 8 foot tall. The part I had in there probably weighed about 4,000 pounds.
Okay.
I was on the back side of the machine. I was doing something with my part. And at the same time, my lead man was watching down the aisle, watching stuff get moved around. Mm-hmm. And at this time, when he had his back to me, I was actually picked up and thrown into a power box.
Wow.
And, at this point, I was pissed.
Yeah.
I didn't even see it happen because it was happening so fast. And right. He turned around and he saw me, you know, wiping the dust off my, you know, off my pants and everything, and got up. And
see, I don't. What's funny about that is even people in the paranormal world, paranormal field, whatever, they don't really understand what it's like to deal with an inhuman entity until you actually do.
Right.
And it, you know, and I always tell people this that are new to the field. You don't really want to deal with something like this and be lucky if you never do.
That's right. Because you don't want to deal with this. And that's something I'll talk about here in a few minutes.
Sure.
But after all that happened, you know, we looked at each other and said, "Screw this job. We're not finishing it. We're going to get out of here."
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, you know, I went home. And so did he and everybody. You know, the shift was over and everybody went home. I was home 10 minutes that evening. Mm-hmm. And this same entity I've been seeing at work shows up in my hallway. And it's
okay.
Growling. And I'm looking at it, and it looked like it had grown. Mm-hmm. It looked a little bit bigger. And I'm like, "You mother effer. Did you not want it here? I don't want you here. You need to leave." And, of course, that evening got a little bit noisy. But then 24 hours, it had woken up 8 other spirits and brought them into my home. And
Were these human spirits, or were they other inhumans as well?
The other ones were human spirits. The one leading them was not.
Okay.
It was an actual demonic entity. And I do have a picture of it on Facebook if you want to see it. But someone, it was actually caught on a night vision camera from one of my viewers.
Okay.
But, but at this point, I was under attack 24/7 for 8 months until a group actually came in and proved to me I wasn't crazy because I had never dealt with anything like this.
Yeah.
And no groups would come because I was basically too far away. And the ones that say would come, something would always happen to them within 24 hours before coming.
Yeah, I've actually experienced that myself. So, you know, were you ever able to find somebody, be it, you know, clergy or, you know, whomever, a medium who could get rid of this stuff?
No, not in this area. Okay. Not knowing what my abilities were yet, it was coming. I was soon to find out. But after the first group came in, basically all of them got beat up. It was a 300-pound woman who got thrown across a room, which was supposedly their clergy.
Okay.
turned out she wasn't that much of a clergy. So she couldn't even handle what was there, but all of them were attacked in one form or fashion that evening. And after they left that night, they lost all their video evidence. Whatever they caught, but you could see it and view it in the house. But when they left, it was just erased. All pictures, all audio, all video, it was gone.
See, and that's what's really bad about that, because you can't exactly go and show this to the world and like, okay, we experienced this, because let's face it, humans are naturally skeptical, and they're going to look at you and say, yeah, whatever, you know, why don't you show me, like, they're all from Missouri or something. But you know, I mean, did you experience that with anybody? You were told, like, hey, I've got these things in my home. I mean, how were people with you?
Well, around here, I tried to approach the churches, and none of them would really help. They said, we don't have that ability, or they said, you're crazy. There's no such thing. And, sure. And I would go around, I told them, and you call yourself a God's person, you know, somebody that works for the church and everything else, and you're saying this doesn't exist?
Right.
Why don't you just come over to my house for a little bit and say that and see what happens? You know? So it never did happen. But by the time the first group did show up to my house from all these other groups that were trying to gather information on the house, basically taught me how to, over the phone, how to use a digital recorder, mm-hmm. How to use a digital camera, night vision camera, and all the little simple tools.
So what did you do? Did you just go run out to the nearest Best Buy or Circuit City and snatch all this up?
I actually went on eBay.
Oh, okay.
I got
See,
all
there you
eBay.
Go. eBay has everything.
I probably bought everything that I would just call off for under $20.
Sure.
And, you know, I just started out with one night vision camera. That's all it took, you know. And so this way these groups can actually monitor 24/7 what was going on. And they couldn't believe what they were seeing.
Right.
So and other people, too, that started watching. So I ended up having a following. But like I said, the time the group finally came, I probably knew – had more knowledge than what they did and what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that team had left, they called another team in that came highly recommended, that was it's called TechSpart, out of our part of Dallas. And a very highly rated group that had been in the field for like 30 years.
Okay.
And they came up, and they almost didn't make it because the same thing was going on. Things were happening to their team members that were dropping like flies.
Sure.
And so they end up coming up with three of them instead of eight. And they came up and actually stayed in the house. It was different this time for them, maybe probably because of their ages and mm-hmm. the way they approach things. Mm-hmm. They saw things, they heard things, never felt threatened until it was time to leave.
Sure.
I was helping them gather up their equipment, and I was back in one of the rooms that I call the bad room. Mm-hmm. And I was just coming out with one of their cables, and one of their investigators right in front of me, and I was walking right toward him, watching me, and he was saying, something's behind you. And at the same time he said that, I felt like I was stabbed in the back.
Right. Now, let me ask you real quick. Were you married at the time? Did you have a family of your own living in the house with you?
My kids were already grown. Grown down. My wife was only attacked one time.
Okay.
And after that, that's all it took with me. I told him, if you got to hurt anybody, you come after me. You leave her alone. Yeah. And so that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, after all that went down, I finally got to the point where I wasn't afraid of this thing anymore. I was facing it. And I swore to God that anybody else that was in the area that needed some kind of assistance to kind of cope and get the knowledge of how to cope with what they had.
Sure.
I was there to help. And I formed a team and went in and started helping people.
See, and that's what I was going to ask you. Was it these experiences with the inhuman entities, elemental spirits, whatever, you know, demonic, whatever you want to call them, that prompted you to start Pampa Texas Paranormal?
Yes. Yes. This wasn't the last demon I faced. Since 2006, when all this started up, I probably faced over 24 different kind of demonic type entities.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the fact that the history of Pampa, Pampa, Texas, was back in the 60s and 70s in this area, black magic was practiced very heavily and
really
improper. I mean, it was not done right. And so
as if black magic would ever be done right, right?
They brought things in, but they didn't know how to get rid of it.
Sure.
And here this stuff was like all around, and just like all of a sudden overnight was waking up, and I'm being called left and right. I've done over 338 new cases, working on over probably well over 1,200 follow-ups since we've started the group.
So let me ask you this, Dan. When you do an investigation, how do you determine the difference between, say, inhuman entity and just some, you know, really curmudgeonous old spirit that wants you out of their house?
Well, of course, I don't just take my team into a place when I get a call. I go in with either I have a case manager or myself go in, and we actually to see, make sure we're not facing, you know, a prankster. Mm-hmm. And but if I go presently, I can actually see it. Like I said, my sixth sense is there. I see it, mm-hmm. and I know real fast. And then, you know, I can tell by the air, the heat signature, smells. You know, the simple signs of a type of a demonic entity.
Right.
When it's just a grumpy old man or something like that, it's different. Because then you got to approach it like you're like a grandpa that's just in a bad mood. You got to calm him down.
Sure.
And that's what we do. So, and we still do to this day. Right now we're in our slow time. We haven't really had anything for the past 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Anything serious, but we're fixing to pick up after I get back from Paranormal Kicks Cancer this weekend.
Which is something that I wanted to talk about real quick. I mean, that's an amazing charity function that you guys are doing, you know, Paranormal Kicks Cancer. You know, what, you know, who's going to be there, and, you know, what can people expect if they want to go?
Well, I'm not the one putting this together. I was actually asked to come in as a guest speaker.
Okay.
It's Wide Awake Paranormal. It was the one that is putting this together.
Mm-hmm.
And they called me up saying, you know, we need some help, you know, for speakers. We know you're part of Haunted Entertainment. Is there anything you can do?
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of put a shout out with my my clients saying, who's willing to help? Because we have all these chapters. They have slots. And who wants to volunteer their time to go in? There's no pay, but, you know, who wants to go help educate, you know? And a couple people stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
One I'm actually bringing in myself, and that's Scott Grinewald from the Paranormal Stew. And he was also on a paranormal Challenge.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, I saw that episode at the Linda Vista Hospital. I thought it was really good.
Yeah. Yes, so he's a good friend of mine, and he was one of my first clients. And he says, dude, I'll go, just let me know, but I just need to get there. And I said, okay, we've got that covered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm paying out of my pocket to bring him out to help entertain.
Sure.
So which is a good thing. He's got a lot to offer, but he does it in such a funny way, it makes everybody laugh.
Sure. Yeah, most definitely. I have listened to the Paranormal Stew a couple times, and, you know, I thought it was a pretty funny show. I really liked it. If anybody ever gets a chance to listen to it, I would say listen to it, because, you know, Scott Grinewald is a pretty funny guy.
He's going to take a break on his show for the next couple of weeks, and then he's taking the stew on the road.
Okay.
I don't know where he's going, but that's just what I know. That's what he said, announced it last week. So
now let's get back to your investigations, because I always like talking about, you know, investigations with our guests, and, you know, of course, people who listen, they want to hear about that as well. Now, you said that you've had 320 some investigations that you've ran over the last few years.
330 new cases. That's not including the follow ups.
Oh, okay. So, just out of how many of those 330 would you say, percentage wise, that you have dealt with, you know, some kind of inhuman entity?
Unhuman, probably about 4%.
4%. That's actually pretty high. I've always been under the understanding
it normally 2% worldwide. But sure. Because I was dealing with the black magic area, mm-hmm. It was like 10 cases that we were dealing with, that we were dealing with some kind of inhuman entity. But you got to be careful when you say inhuman, because there are other elements that I've come across, which isn't, you know, what you would call a demon or a spirit, but other things like, well, I didn't believe at first until I got to start seeing them more and more, and you know, like trolls, gnomes, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
If you asked me this back in 2006, do they exist? I would have said mm-hmm. No. You ask me that now? I said, hell yeah.
Well, see, like with me, I'm, you know, by ideology, I'm actually a Buddhist, so I don't really, you know, buy into the whole fallen angel thing. But I do believe that there are, you know, ancient primal forces that, you know, for better or worse, are out to get us. And, you know, so I'm pretty reluctant on using the term demon, I guess you could say.
Yeah, but, I don't always say demon at first. I have clients that call me and I said, how do you know that? How do you know sure. It's a demon? You know, most of the time when I hear it's a demon case, I go in, it's actually a Native American case. Because mm-hmm. we deal with a lot of the Native Americans here, Comanche Indians and Confederate soldiers. So we have a lot of stuff that, you know, with their stuff goes on. But Indians are kind of interesting when you start investigating some of their cases, because they can actually shapeshift. And
see,
it's really scary.
Now, that's what I wanted to ask you about. That's interesting that you should bring that up, because from what I understand, the Skinwalker is very much believed on by the Native Americans of the Southwest. In your own, in your own inquiries and investigations, have you ever come past a possible Skinwalker?
I guess you want to call it that, but we've come across just about everything there is.
Sure.
As it comes to demonic cases, they've come to a halt pretty much, because they know if we're coming, they're gonna lose. Mm-hmm. They're going to be out. They'll be packing up. They will be gone that night.
Right.
So half the time before we even get there, if they know we're stepping foot there, they're gone.
Yeah.
Even though I came across them during the pre-investigation with the team member and stuff, you know, they knew we were coming. And usually cases like that, I would tell the homeowner, do not talk about we're coming in.
Right.
We don't want them to know, because otherwise they'll just hide and they'll come back out later. So we basically tell that to all of our clients for any kind of case. And that's something that other groups should do when talking to people on their clients. Don't make sure they do not talk about you coming in.
Right.
Because these spirits are not stupid. You know, they were alive at one time, and they will go into hiding if they don't want to be bothered. And then they'll come out with a vengeance against the homeowners because they brought you in.
Right. See, now I've actually... before investigations with the group that I'm with, McHenry County Paranormal Research Group, I've actually had visitations from spirits before an investigation, because the people were talking about us and, yeah. You know, talking about our names. I actually was woken up one day. I work nights, so I sleep during the day, and my wife and, you know, my son, they weren't home at the time, and I was sleeping on the couch, and I got woken up by this really gruff male voice, and it said, "You better not come here."
Yeah, that's normal. That's normal when you get into a negative case. I go through that all the time. Any team member that before they even know they're being picked to go into a case on mm-hmm. my team, especially one that's in the chat room now, Joe, he's dealt with this too.
Okay.
A lot of my old members that were on the team couldn't cope with this, and you know, that's why I go through team members a lot. Mm-hmm. We've been through Joe's probably one of the oldest team member that's been around for the longest on my team.
Sure.
So he knows what comes and goes, and when it comes to training people, you know, we try to train them that, you know, if you got to get over this fear, you
right.
know, we're not here to look for spirits and go, "Ooh, I saw something."
Yeah.
You know, we're going in because these families know there's something going wrong, and if we've gotten to this point and I've asked my team members to come in, I know for a fact there's something there.
Sure. See, and I like that you say that, because a lot of that is lost these days with paranormal groups. It's like they just want to go in, they want to take a few fuzzy pictures, they want to take a couple dubious voice recordings, and then they're like, hey, you know, we got this, but we're out of here, and, you know, have fun with this entity that's been giving you hell for the last 10 years of your life. So when you guys go in, you actually go in with the philosophy that you are going to help this family come hell or high water, correct?
That's right. That's right. And I won't leave until we've done something, or until we feel that we all feel that we're satisfied with the outcome, or something that where the homeowner can take it from there.
Sure.
A lot of the times we go in, you know, there's no guarantee to get rid of a spirit. And that's the first thing a client will say, get rid of it, get rid of it. And I said, look, that's like me coming to you and say, you got to leave your house.
Right.
Are you going to do that if I tell you to leave right now? And they will, no. And I said, okay. This is what you got to look when with them. They think this is their house and you're intruding.
Right.
And then we're coming in and it's going to piss them off.
Yeah.
So, you know, but the only thing we can do is ask them to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Most of the time they do, or they just shut the heck up and let the family live their life.
Right.
You know, if they're going to be around, then they have to, I tell, you know, the spirits that are there, and I tell the homeowners, you have to deal with each other one-on-one. Cool. And, you know, I don't like going in and freaking out my clients with my abilities.
Sure.
Unless they're told by one of my other team members, and then they can confront me about it. And says, what do you see? What do you know? And that's what, you know, before we even go over our audio, I'll come up with names, who they are, what they are, what they're wearing, before we even review anything. And then some of the stuff that I'll tell some of these people confirms exactly what they've been seeing, and I leave them with their mouths wide open.
Right. You know, I think it's great that you're very much open with your, for lack of a better term, psychic abilities. A lot of people really aren't. They're kind of afraid to come out of the closet. It's like, yeah, you know, I'm in the field and I've got these kind of abilities. And I just think that's great, because, you know, I always express to people, it's like, I'm not a ghost hunter and I'm not a paranormal investigator. I'm a psychical researcher. I'm more involved with the psychic side of the manifestations than with anything else. And, you know, testing people's psychic ability. So I just think that's great that you're really open with that.
The one thing you got to be careful with going into cases like this, and this is for anybody that's out there that's listening. Mm-hmm. You can't just go say, I'm a psychic, and you got this and this and this, and they're going to like look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
Unless they ask, then tell them. But I tell my team members that do have abilities, because the more cases they do, the more they open up and they're receptive to what I pick up on.
Sure.
And they themselves, sometimes it scares the crap out of them. They can't handle it. Mm-hmm. But they've been warned before, you know, going on cases with us. I'll go on like with the spirits that are there. But I use this tool of mine. I call it like a tool, my way to catch it. This is why I catch pictures. This is why I catch audio. This is why I catch video, anything of that sort. Because I can see it first, you know. So why not put the camera on? Let's see if we can catch it on there.
Right.
So if people look on Facebook on my pictures, they'll see for themselves what I do catch.
Right.
Most of the pictures that are on there are my stuff, and there's some that are not. The ones that are not, I do state such and such took it. And then we have video clips of actual things that have happened. If people want to look on YouTube, you can DS Guthrie67, and I've got gobs of stuff on there. Anywhere from actual stuff that we've caught, video of evidence of things being moved, to EVPs, to even some of our bloopers,
sure.
Which you got to have once in a while to lighten the load,
yeah.
Because otherwise, if you get too intense, you know, you're going to get too jumpy.
Yeah. So why don't you kind of like, you know, run me through how Pampa Texas Paranormal runs an investigation? Obviously, you get the call from the people, and they're like, "Hey, can you come out to my house? I got some weird stuff that's going on." Now, when you guys show up, not only do you use your sensitive abilities, but I'm sure you also use many pieces of equipment, correct?
We use all of our equipment. The only thing our team doesn't own is a thermal camera. They're expensive, and from my in my experience, they've been nice to have. But to me, it's just an expensive tool we really don't need.
Sure.
Because we do, because anybody, you don't need to spend lots of money on equipment to go ghost hunting. I mean, you could spend under $20 and get just the basic things you need, and be able to do great stuff, and catch great stuff. But for us, when we go in, and like I said before I even bring a team in, I go in or with another team member, or I have my case manager, which is also has similar abilities as myself, and she'll have her assistant. We never go alone. And we'll go in and actually sit down with the client, interview them, make sure they're not on some kind of heavy drugs, or then check the house out, make sure it's properly grounded, so this way we know it's not electrical.
Right.
And then, if we come across something that's there that we're picking up on, then we kind of confront it. That's where we come up to, is where we pull one of the assistants or whoever with us, pull the client away while we go up and confront this thing to see, hopefully we can deal with it right then, and so we don't have to come back.
Okay.
And in my case, this is very useful, because I can go face to face with this and say, hey, look, you're scaring this family. You need to stop. Now, if they give me attitude, I'm going to come back.
Sure.
When they don't, then they understand, and usually the activity will simmer down or stop altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And so if call back in, then I pick out who's best on our team to go in. I won't call them all in, because we used to have at one time 18 members all at once. But I wouldn't use them all in one case. We'd use anywhere from 6 to 8, depending on the size of the case. And I would pick out, handpick team members that would be best fitted for this type of case.
Sure.
And so we go in, we set up the equipment and everything else. I let my team members have a chance to meet with the owners. The only thing I ask of the owners when we go in is there's no one under 18 in the house.
Now, why is that?
Because we've had experiences of people that are younger get something attached to them or get attacked.
Okay.
Our last case that we had, where somebody under 18 that got attacked, we had a waiver signed. And it was back in January. And it was on a country home. But we went in. Joe in the chat room was there. We went in with a small team, and right off the bat, I was picking up on 3 spirits.
Okay.
And the owner that was there knew my abilities. They were told by my case manager, and I was told absolutely nothing about this case, except they had things going on, and that they were made aware of this. They actually wanted to see what I knew.
Mm-hmm.
So when I walked in, before I took a few steps in, I'm saying, okay, and they told me outside, tell us what you see, please, And so I walk in, I get 2 steps in. One doorway I look at, I see a male spirit. Comes out probably in his 30s, probably in the era, probably in the 50s.
Okay.
50s, 40s, somewhere in there. And I even came up with his name. I forgot what it was at the time. He told me his name. And then I noticed there was a little girl peeking at me, so I started talking to her. And the next thing I know, she had a twin.
Oh.
She popped out. And the twin was disfigured, more like a birth defect or possibly a handicap.
Okay.
But very, very touchy, very, very violent. She didn't was spoiled.
Yeah.
To her, everything in the house was hers. So all the toys, dolls, and stuff from the daughter that lived in the house was hers, and not the actual one that lived there.
Sure.
And so, I told this to the family, and it says, my God, you've actually described everything to a T to what we've been picking up over the years we lived in this house. Now, where do we go from here? And I said, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
And the wife proceeded to tell me that she was actually sexually assaulted by the male spirit that was there.
Okay.
And the kids would say that they wouldn't sleep at night because kids were laughing in their room or jumping on their beds.
Mm-hmm.
So the main concern at this point was, okay, kid spirits with kids, that's okay. Not okay, but they're not being hurt at this time. So I went after the male spirit. And actually, we were able to coach him out.
Okay.
He left the house.
Now, how do you do something like that, though? It's like, do you just go in and like, hey, these people want you out, or is there something that you have to do to force them out?
I talk to them.
Okay.
Because of my ability, I'm able to go right up and talk to them. And And in this case, you know, he did give me attitude at first, and mm-hmm. then we started with prayer. He didn't like that. And then I asked him again, you know, you need to leave. Actually, I didn't ask. I demanded, you're going to have to leave this house. Right. Otherwise, I'm going to bring in, you know, somebody from the church in here. And not letting him know that I was already an ordained minister. But at this point, he says, okay, fine. I'll go somewhere. And he says, where can I go? And I said, why don't you just go next door and bother those people? Just leave this family alone. He goes, fine. There's kids there. I'm gone. So he left.
Okay. And, now, did you get a call from the people next door? It's like, hey, you know what's going on? No, we didn't have anything going on. All of a sudden, we do.
Actually, they did have some stuff going on, but they just told the neighbors that was there what it was. And so they said, well, he hasn't hurt nobody. So for now, we're okay. We haven't gotten the call yet.
Sure.
So, but later on that night, their 16-year-old daughter that was in the house went into a room that we did not have a camera in.
Okay.
And she was actually attacked. Okay. She was scratched so hard that she had scratches from the back of her top of her back of her neck all the way down to the small of her back, and actually ripped her bra open.
Good grief.
And we got pictures of her, but we couldn't post it, of course. But but we have actual physical pictures of this of the actual scratches, and they're pretty severe.
Sure.
And it looked like from a jealous child having a fit. That's exactly mm-hmm. what it was. And I went in there and I had to, like, you know, talk to this child like I was her father.
Right.
And finally, you know, it's like, okay, you know, it stopped. No, it didn't completely stop all the activity, but they were like, okay, we'll be good. And so I turned to the homeowners at this time. I said, what do you want me to do? You want me to get rid of them or what? And they said, no, they can stay just as long as they don't, you know, mess with the kids here anymore.
Got to play nice.
Yes. And so, and they're, aren't you going to tell her? And I said, they just heard you. They're right here.
Okay.
And someone snapped a picture, and they were actually able to see them right there in the doorway. So,
okay. That's very cool.
At this point, they understood this was going on. So, there was no more attacks in the house to this date. Mm-hmm. There's some activity, things getting moved around and stuff. And I, in fact, I told the 16-year-old girl that lived in the house that got attacked, and I said, put some toys for their age to the side and say, here, this is for you to play with, and just leave it out. And don't pick them up. Just let them play with it. And then to tell them everything else is off limits and everything should be fine. It worked.
Now, I know with the group that I'm with as a co-lead investigator, we actually sage properties and use, you know, salt, kosher salt. Do you guys use anything like that in your group to rid a house or property of something?
You don't use it to rid. This is one thing a lot of paranormal investigators get mistaken by using sage and using salt. Salt is a boundary. It's like a wall. If you put put salt on a house and you got a spirit inside, you're not gonna, the spirit's trapped. Where's it gonna go?
Right. I only use that as, you know, kind of like a real generic way of saying it's, I know that it's a, you know, to like seal a home or, you know, so, yeah.
It works well for, you know, like Native American type spirits and more negative type, mm-hmm. that, which is borderline demonic cases, like I would think, but, you know, I haven't determined if they're quite demonic yet because they haven't given their true identity to me.
Sure.
So, you know, this is where you kind of scare them with a little bit of salt, but don't completely seal off the house.
Mm-hmm.
With this way, you can still have a doorway for it to get out. But now it comes to sage. In our experience here, is that sage is mainly for Native American spirits. There's just something that works well with them, to okay. where it will actually soothe them. But for like an American person spirit, you know, that's dead or in the house or something of that side, that isn't Native American, actually pisses them off.
Okay.
So you got to be really careful when using sage.
Sure.
There's different kinds of sages. I don't care what kind of sage is out there. It's still, to me, it's the same. You know, it's just some has different effects to certain types of Indians. But when it comes to having, it's just like somebody sticking lighting a piece of weed, bundle up weed, putting it in your nose, you know, somebody living it. But how are you going to react? You know, this is how the spirits are reacting.
Yeah.
You know, that are us and not the Native American. The Native American understands, okay, this is sweet smell and this is for this. They know the purpose of that.
Sure.
So, you know, that works great for that. But when it comes to, like I said, the people that are the spirits that are not an indie, it's not going to work.
Okay. All right. Right on. You know, I think we're going to go take a quick break, and when we come back, I wanted to talk a little bit about Honda Entertainments and how that came about.
You got it.
All right, cool. Cheryl?
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
If you are a small business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.org.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. I am your host, Rick Hale. Karen is not with us tonight, but joining us is Dan Guthrie. And welcome back to the show, Dan.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
I clicked the wrong page here.
Yeah, so, okay, nope, you're right. You're right back. There you go. You know, let's talk a little bit about Haunted Entertainments. Now, a frequent flyer on our show, Robin Marie, she's actually been on our show a few times. And now, from what I understand, that both of you guys had founded.
No, I'm the one who founded it. She merged with me after I had already gotten it up and running. Okay. And so we're basically now just partners, but I'm the one that founded Haunted Entertainment.
Okay. So how did that come? How do you find such a, you know, something that's essentially a talent agency? How do you go about founding something like that?
Well, it was just, I kind of fell into it. There was a group of gals out in Georgia that, that are doing supernatural exploration. And they originally wanted me to come in and be their business manager.
Okay.
And they said, you know what, Dan, you'd be much better as an agent because you know the people out there. You know the ones that book these events. So why not be an agent and we'll help you get it going? And I said, that's fine and dandy, but what do I do? I've never done this before.
Right.
And they said, we'll teach you. So I said, okay, let's do it. So it's been booming ever since. Now, as for this year, you know, most of the events, with the bigger events that do pay for celebrities or guest speakers to come in, have already picked their people.
Right.
So I'm going to have to wait until, like, next month when I can start booking them for next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that feedback coming from me?
I'm not sure where it's coming from. Cheryl, is there anything we could do to fix that?
I'm trying to see where it's coming from, but I'm not getting anything as to the source.
Okay.
So let's just hope it, it sounds like it's coming through someone's speakers, but I'm not sure.
Okay. It's not my, I'll just turn my microphone down. Maybe that'll help. I still hear it, so no, it's not me.
Hmm. All right. Well, we've had that a couple times, so hopefully it'll just work its way out. But now with Haunted Entertainments, you actually have some pretty big names on there. You know, can you tell us about some of the talent?
Let me pull up my page here so I can see what I have, because some are mine and some are Robin Marie's.
Sure.
Hers signed on over, and so they're mine too. You know, they're both of ours, but we had booked. Separately.
Okay.
Let me see here. But I'll name off everybody here. I just need to get to the right page. Let's see. Right now we have like 26 people that are signed on with us.
Sure.
We have Tammy Rascliffe, Judy Swan. Judy Swan is the mother of Bryson Canoose from Kid Psychics.
Oh, okay.
So he's also one of our clients. So we have all three of them. We have the Booth Brothers. We have Keith Age, Scott Grinnell, of course, Robin Marie. I sponsor her, and she sponsors me. We take care of each other, whoever wants to book us. I have a paranormal author, Candy O'Donnell. I have Kurt Strutz. I have John Tenney from Paranormal State, the new class. Gary Manley. I have Jessica Johns and her partner, Allison Wilson. They specialize in daytime investigations. Of course, myself. I wasn't even going to put myself up there, but Robin says, you got to. So I did.
Yeah.
I got Bill Bean.
Okay.
I have actress Julie Christina, which is our model spokeswoman for Haunted Entertainment. Have a new Justin Eric out of Past Paranormal.
Okay.
I have, of course, Scotty Warwick from here, from Z-Talk. I have Christopher Matheny and Kimberly, I can't even pronounce her last name. It's his fiance.
Okay.
I have Christopher Lynn from Paranormal State, the new class. He's the actual leader of the group.
Right.
I've got Kevin Bryan from Fort Worth Paranormal, which he'll be known here very shortly because he just did some filming out in L.A. and he'll be shown on A&E here pretty quick.
Oh, great.
In the Bible channel, so he'll be around a little bit. We've got Joe Cotto. Mm-hmm. Of course, you. I got to pull this up so I make sure I pronounce her name right. Karen Rondowski. She's a comedian, but she's also a paranormal comedian, but she's been seen numerous times on different TV shows and TV channels, Comedy Central. She's been on Good Morning America. She's been on, I think she's been on Saturday Night Live, but I'm not positive. But there's just so much she's been on. And then I have Kimberly Ridgway is coming in. She is known for a product called Ghoul Be Gone. She has a spray and a candle, and this is something that I will probably talk a little bit more on at my lecture I'm doing this weekend for Paranormal Kicks Cancer.
Okay.
Her stuff, her spray, is basically used, originally it was designed to help outside investigators get rid of bugs that are around them that are bothering them. So
okay.
That's where came in Ghoul Be Gone. But Ghoul Be Gone was actually turned out to be more than that. It works to, besides getting rid of the dust orbs and the bugs, it also cleans up the air and makes your picture taking sharper.
I was going to ask if it was made of garlic, silver, and...
Oh, it's got all kinds of stuff in it. All kinds of good stuff. You can kind of look at it kind of like a voodoo potion, because she is from Louisiana. So,
okay.
But I have used this, and I have caught clearer pictures of actual spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So clear that it was mind-blowing. And then she also has a Ghoul Be Gone blessing candle.
Okay.
I have used it on one of our cases, and there was a huge fight on Facebook over one of my pictures between psychics. What I had done was light one of these candles up and set it on a footboard on a bed, and I visually saw this girl come up, and so did three other people that was in the room.
Mm-hmm.
She was coming to the candle, so I went to grab my camera. Batteries were dead. Of course, the spirit drained it. So
right.
I grabbed my cell phone and I started snapping pictures off of it. And the first picture I took, the flash didn't go off. The next picture it did go off. And then I didn't look at the picture until I went outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I went outside and looked, and sure enough, there's something in the picture.
Wow.
I had a lot of more people actually did see it than the ones that didn't. So if anyone's interested in seeing that picture, go to Facebook and look for the one with the candles lit. I'm not going to say what's there. Be your own judge.
So I guess it's safe to assume that you can't get Ghoul Be Gone at your local CVS or Walgreens or Walmart then?
You can come through me and I'll be more than glad to help you sell you some or, mm-hmm. At advance. I'm hoping to sell out what I have for her at this event this weekend. But Kimberly Ridgway, just look her up on Facebook and find her about it, and she'd be more than willing to help. That to sell people. Now, it's a little expensive, but it's worth it. It's $22 for the spray. Not a very big bottle, like 10 ounces or so, but it lasts forever. It lasts a long time. I've been using it now since Frontier Paracon 1 on every case, and I still got some.
Okay.
We're talking already, 30, 40 cases down the road. I still got a quarter of a bottle left. So, and the candle, it's a very slow-burning candle, which I only use on more intense places, where not necessarily demonic, but more violent-type haunts.
Sure.
Where you use it, it will calm it down.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to buy some, but I'm sure that as soon as, I do, a buddy of mine who's a chemist would probably steal it from my house just to see what it's made of.
Well, when you come to Frontier Paracon 2, Kimberly Ridgway will be there with her product.
Okay. So let's talk about the events, past events that are coming up. You guys, Haunted Entertainment's recently just wrapped up Frontier Paracon, the first one.
Well, actually, for Frontier Paracon 1, that was done by my group and myself with Tampa Tech Paranormal Research Society. Haunted Entertainment's only been around now for going on 3 months. But oh, we're just so massive that people know who we are now. True. And some of them are being booked for smaller events, which really don't even have names. They're just like, they're fundraisers. They haven't come up with any names yet. So, but the ones, the bigger ones, like for Scarefest for next year, will go. But we do have people there that will be there this weekend for Scarefest that are going to be representing. But we have, we got Frontier Paracon 2, which is nothing but haunted entertainment. That will be in May. I'm not bringing in any outside speakers. This is all our own speakers, the ones that can make it. Right now, so we've got like about 95% of the people that are coming.
Okay.
That's so a lot now, of people.
Right. This is something that, you know, a person can just buy tickets and come to, correct?
Yes. They'll be able to here shortly. I'll have it posted up on Facebook. And I'm sure it'll be up on here too, on this radio site. Once we get everything finalized. But the tickets are going to go, we're looking at, it's not positive yet, but we're looking at $75 for the whole weekend. The rooms, I've got a huge discount. And this is where I need everybody's help that's out there that wants to go. Mm-hmm. You can wait on the tickets a little bit, but the main thing is if you want a room at the Stanley Hotel, you'll need to book it as soon as I post it.
Right.
They need to fill these rooms. Otherwise, they're going to stick me with one heck of a bill. But the thing is, what's really good about these rooms, I'm getting them for nearly half price. Their normal off-season price for a room runs about $239 a night plus tax. Mm-hmm. Now, what they're asking for our rates going in for Frontier Paracon 2 is $144 a night.
Okay.
And this will be a two-night, one-day event.
Okay.
So you're basically you're getting the play, you know. So if you look at what you're going to pay $250 for one night at regular price, if you go that route, compared to $144 a night, you know, with our special. Now, if you just call up there and want a room, they're not going to give you the reservations unless you go through one of our links. They're just going to say, you know, they're blocked or they're taken. So the only way you're going to get room is through my links.
Now, let me ask you this. Besides having excellent speakers at Frontier Paracon 2, like, yours truly here, what else can you expect to find there? You know, vendors, people selling stuff, obviously.
We're going to have 30 vendors. Some will be haunted entertainment. There will be some that will be outside. But we'll have 30 tables that are going to be there. We're going to have live music coming in. I'm bringing probably up two bands. One of them is going to be the original Chris Allen, not the one from American Idol, but the other one, the original one, from Southern Thunder. Very good. He's original. He's been around for quite some time, but he's coming back, and he's got some really pretty nice songs. If you don't have any objections, do you mind if I play one on your show?
That is Cheryl. What do you think about that?
I think it's great.
Great. Cool. All right. Let's right on. Let's do it then.
All right. Let me find it here real quick because I just put all my music up. So I'm trying to get my laptop ready for my event tomorrow. Let me pull it up here real fast. Just give me a second here.
Okay.
Up there. It's behind this box. Okay, here we go. This one here was a big hit. It was in the number one slot in 2002 for 6 weeks straight.
Okay.
So it's two below. So let me go ahead and play it. Here we go.
Okay, great.
It's scorching hot in this Delta town. There ain't no breeze to cool it down. Lord, it's 100 and shame. The creek dried up just yesterday. Around our house, there's a
don't mind moving through. I feel it, baby, every time I'm close to you. It's Tupelo in Tupelo. It's the middle of July, but it's never felt so cold. You want for so hot, but your loving heart is cold.
Now you see what we're looking forward to at Venture Paracon. Cool.
Yeah. Now, does this guy have any interest in the paranormal?
Yes, he's actually into Bigfoot. He's a big-time fanatic for when it comes to Bigfoot.
Oh, then great, because he'll be among company, because that's definitely my second great love to psychical research is cryptozoology.
Oh, he's big-time into it. He's been all over the country on this, and he's even teaching his kids now to go Bigfoot hunting.
Okay. See, it's, you know, I have a 9.5-month-old. His name's Theo, and I call him the future world's greatest psychical researcher. And my wife, she always looks at me and she's like, I know what you got planned for his future. But just, you think that you can wait until he's at least 16, 17 years old? I'm like, what, are you kidding me? His first words are going to be EVP, so... So, you know, let's talk about the Stanley Hotel. I mean, that's considered to be one of the most haunted locations in, well, the universe, I guess you might say. how were you able to secure something like that?
Sweet talking.
Sweet talking.
Yeah, you got to know how to talk to these people.
You heard that's it there, ladies.
See, that's why I'm an agent. It's because... I can talk with these people. Otherwise, it would have really cost a lot of money.
Sure.
But if you know how to talk to them right, you can work out deals. And that's the deal that I worked out with here. This is why I've got to book all the rooms, so we pretty much have the run of the whole place.
Right.
So if there's just one room that does not get rented out for that weekend, then I have to pay for it.
Sure. Now, is there going to be a time where, you know, all of us nerds can grab our EMF detectors and EVP recorders and all that and just go exploring? Because I got to be honest with you, Dan, this place is like, it's my Disney World.
I'm sure people are going to do that regardless. Sure. But when it comes to working with night vision cameras and that kind of stuff, they'd rather do it in like a tour thing. They're gonna have a ghost hunting hotel tour that happens during the daytime. They charge $15 for. Okay. But what they're wanting to do is what they've told me you know, for people that want to go ghost hunting with some of the people, like even like yourself, if you want to run a group, you could. Mm-hmm. But what they want to charge the public $75 for like 4 hours to go investigate.
Sure.
So this way they'll be with trained professionals. Like yourself, myself, and whoever else that decides to join in on this, to help work groups to kind of educate them.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's something that really needs to be touched on right now in the paranormal community is education.
Yes.
There is so much out there, and you can't really say, okay, this is crap and this is correct, because it's kind of like a religion sort of thing. You got these different sects, and everybody's going to have their sects, not sex. everybody has their own little sects, and the way that they do things. You know, one group absolutely is completely hostile to using mediums, while this group is all about using mediums. Right. And not only do we need the paranormal community, you know, to come together, but we also need to educate people that, you know, we're not just a bunch of nerds that are, you know, grabbing electronics and going out on the weekends. This is something that is it's a very real issue, and it's, you know, any kind of, you know, psychic manifestations or phenomenon has been with mankind for, you know, thousands of years, ever since we fell from the trees and, you know, lost the tails. But that's definitely two things that need to really be done. And would you say that this is going to be kind of a, you know, with Frontier Paracon, that this is going to be kind of an education for people that are going to come and see us?
And any haunted entertainment event is going to be an educational event, but very entertaining. Sure. It's just, that's kind of like how our slogan goes. It's we're not just about the paranormal, but we are here to basically haunt your mind with great entertainment.
Sure.
So, you know, that's what we want to educate the people out there. People are getting tired of these conventions with the same people, same dragged out lectures.
Yes.
You know, people that are, you know, it's always the same people, same stuff. So this is why these conferences are getting slim, because people are getting tired of paying, you know, their $100 or a couple hundred a ticket to go to these events to listen to the same thing they just heard last year.
Right. Yeah,
about
the EVPs that we caught and all the pictures that we caught. It's like, wow, you know, we really have to talk about this again.
Yes, so exactly. I mean, this is, you know, even though I touch base with negative and demonic, you know, type cases and how tell the difference between the two, I cover everything. You know, I'll touch the bases in my point of view, and then we have other lecturers that will teach their point of view.
Sure.
You know, and this will be up to the individual to choose and how they want to use the techniques. My technique is just do the best you can. Don't just take one picture and move on. You know, always take two or three, whatever it takes. You know, I'd rather take 1,000 pictures on a location to catch one picture than to take 10 pictures and not catch nothing.
Yeah, well, it's like taking pictures of your dog or your kid. You know, you got to take 1,000 pictures just to get that one cute picture.
That's right.
You know, it's the same thing with ghosts. You know, it's with throwing any kind of like ghost hunts. One of our members in MCPRG, Daphne Carey, she's one of our mediums. Actually, she's in the room right now. She'll tell you that Rick is a machine when he's on the case. So I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, being a part of this. You know, it's kind of like being part of a street gang. You're just feeling like you're being part of something here. So, but with, you know,
go ahead. I just want to. I don't mean to interrupt, but one little thing before I forget. Now, this isn't positive yet, but this is what the Booth brothers and I have been talking about. Mm-hmm. But watch for the updates on this. But what they were thinking about doing is for the people that actually pay to come up to Frontier Paracon 2 and get a room for 2 nights. One of those individuals is going to be put into a drawing to be possibly put in one of their new DVD movies.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's actually that's very cool. I mean, I've never made it, you know, any great mystery, but I am a huge Booth Brothers fan. I really, you know, I really enjoyed Children of the Grave and Spooked. I thought Children of the Grave was really great. Because I'm sure that you could agree, Dan, that when you're investigating a haunting, there really is nothing more sad and more tragic than, you know, investigating where there's children involved.
It is. It is sad. And it's sad when I have to do cases myself that deal with kids. Yeah. A lot of the ones that I dealt with, or at least here and other places that I've gone to, but mainly here in Texas, the ones that I deal with are ones that died from the Dust Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, you can smell them. You know, you can smell the dust, especially when you bring it up and you ask them, were you there? Did you die because of the Dust Bowl? And all of a sudden the room fills up with dust. You start choking. Yeah, that's a good sign. So, you know, it's pretty sad because, you know, these kids suffered.
Right, right. So, besides Frontier Paracon 2, what else do you have that's going to be coming up soon that people can, you know, buy tickets and go see?
Well, right now we don't have the tickets out yet for the other thing yet. A lot of them are in the works, but we're fixing a book to make about 14 different events that we're looking at either booking or putting together ourselves, just so our speakers have an opportunity to get out there and get themselves known.
Right, right.
While I'm in Dallas this weekend, I'm looking at a location that we may be using. I don't know if I want to let the cat out of the bag yet, but it's might as well. It's one of the biggest haunted houses that you use for Halloween. It's actually a mall.
Okay.
And I'm looking into this place to actually do a convention at. But it's just I'm going to have to go down there this weekend and talk with the owner and see and get a kind of look at the outlay of the place to see if it is a possible place to do this or not. The guy's for it. But I said, I'm not going to just say yes over the phone, not, you know, sight unseen,
sure.
You know, because I don't know what I'm getting myself into yet. So, and which he understood. So he's going to try to impress me when I go down there. If we do this, it's going to be massive, a mass scale of kind of like Frontier Paracon. Frontier Paracon is going to probably be the biggest one of them all. As it was before, I became Haunted Entertainment, Frontier Paracon 1 was the biggest paranormal convention of this year. Mm-hmm. And I received an award, hospitality award, from StuCon for that.
Now, so, with Frontier Paracon 1, where was that held? And was it a, you know, haunted location?
Well, it was actually I took people to a haunted location. It was in Amarillo, Texas, at a hotel. The Civic Center and everything else, just for being a first time for Frontier Paracon. I didn't want to go overboard, but I did go overboard. To be honest, we put a lot of money into it, a lot more than any other convention will ever do.
Sure.
The writer, well, you heard me mention earlier that Frontier Paracon 2, when we were talking about possibly being in Las Vegas, that one there had a budget of $500,000 to be put together.
But we had
to back out for whatever reasons.
Sure.
Frontier Paracon 1 had a budget of $40,000. So
okay.
That kind of gives you an idea that we're not no little convention. We're out there to help entertain the people that are out there so they can be educated properly. And
right.
Not just by some actor that really doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah, and the television paranormal world seems to be populated with that a little bit too much right now. You mentioned earlier in the show that you wrote a book, A Haunted Life.
Yes.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
A Haunted Life, you can actually purchase anywhere on any online bookstore. Amazon is probably one of the more popular ones, but Barnes & Noble or any of those ones, one of your favorite bookstores, it'll be there. A Haunted Life basically is my truth, my documented reports of what I went through what I talked about earlier in the show, because it did get rated in 2007 to be the most haunted house in Texas.
And that house is?
It's in Pampa.
Okay.
It's not. I no longer live in it. I lost it during the economy crash. I couldn't keep up with the payments, and no one wanted to buy it. They tried it, but they'd come in to look at it, and any potential buyer that came in the house only lasted at most 2 minutes in the house. Otherwise, they were running for the door. That's scary.
Yeah, we recently did an investigation that was like that, too. The lady just could not sell the house. People would walk in and be like, it feels crowded in here, and then walk right back out. So,
it wasn't just crowded, just they had things popping out at them from doorways, doors opening up and things stepping out that wasn't there.
Sure, yeah.
But they didn't want other people buying it, so.
Right.
I'm just waiting for the phone call for the new owners.
we got to get out of here.
The bank took it, and when a bank takes a haunted house, they don't have to state that it's haunted. But when you're trying to privately sell, or, I mean, like with through Century 21 or one of those real estate companies, you have to announce that it's haunted.
So that in fact is a fact then, that is it's part of the full disclosure laws, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So a ghost
has to be in writing. Now a realtor don't have to say it verbally, but it does have papers. Now if that potential buyer asks about it, then they have to go into details and talk about what has been going on.
Sure. Yeah, I always found that really interesting because I was reading something about Lowe's Cottage in England and the people that they went through that haunting. And they weren't told anything about it, and the previous owners were like, you know, no, nothing ever happened here. They're completely insane. But it seems that whoever went to Lowe's Cottage always did experience something that was out of the ordinary. So, and I, to be perfectly honest with you, I always kind of thought it was an urban legend that it, you know, part of the full disclosure laws that, you know, hey, we got mice, but we also got a ghost too. So, you sure you want to buy this place?
Well, a lot of times it's usually state by state, but most of the states do have to go by that law.
Sure. So, okay, you're talking about a haunted life. So this was kind of like your documentary of what was going on in this home, correct?
Yeah, of one of the most scary places in Texas, at least. So, besides having a demonic entity that I talk about in the book, there was also 8 other very pissed off spirits that I had to face every day. Mm-hmm. It was a very tough time for me. During the time when that demon followed me home till I actually left the house. It was like, it was a whole weight off my shoulders that the bank took it. I'm like, oh, now I don't care about my credit this time. You know, take it. You know?
Yeah.
It was only my way out of getting out of that house, because otherwise I was being sucked in more and more to what was there. The only thing that was good about having my group, even though I had a haunted house, and this is what I would try to explain to people that call me, is because I have a haunted house, this is what makes it easier for me to talk to you about what you got and how to cope with it, because I live in one of the most haunted places. Then it's far beyond than any other place I've been to so far. And I've been through quite a few places.
Yeah.
One of the spirits did follow us to our new place. It actually followed my wife over here, and it was a little girl spirit, but she finally disappeared. She's gone. I haven't seen her now in a month. So I might.
Did she cause any problems?
No, not really. It was just a nuisance, more or less. Turning on TVs, that kind of stuff. You'd be asleep, and then all of a sudden the TV turned all the way up. And then you're giggling, you know it's her.
Yeah.
So he's just like. She was probably one of the nicer spirits that was in the house.
Right.
The other ones that were in there were not so nice, very mean, very scary, very violent. You know, there's many times where I would be slammed up against a wall when I just walked down the hall, or be hit by something, I don't know what it was, and be on the ground. I thought some time was going to kill me in my shower because... I was being pushed down into the steel frame where it was actually cutting through my skin to the point where I needed stitches.
Now, was there ever any possessions or you know, if you want to call it that, that you experienced in that house or in any of your other investigations?
In other investigations, not in this house per se, because I didn't allow it. Mm-hmm. But as you know, I've come close where they've gone through you, but they didn't stay. But in other locations, I've been in locations where we'll be doing a prayer, holding hands, and doing a group prayer before actually starting the case. Mm-hmm. And out of nowhere, I start growling. And I didn't even know I was. And I blacked out. And this is strange because some of the pictures that have been taken to me and that have actually been brought to my knowledge is where it's not my eyes change colors to a brilliant white, which you would at first look you'd think it's a flash, but you get to looking at it, it's not. And they have been examined. The pictures have been examined by some professionals. I guess I showed somebody else, and they actually showed it to other people to get their opinion. And it was not a flash. It was actually a spirit looking through my eyes, and my eyes just turned like a pearl white. Mm-hmm. So I started looking back at some of my case pictures, and sure enough, there I am in about 24 of the pictures, my eyes pearl white, and seeing where I don't remember because somebody took that picture. Then there was where I was actually in a demonic location, and my eyes turned black.
Okay. Now, have you ever come across anything like that? There's always like this, you know, not only do we have shadow people nowadays, but we seem to have black-eyed kids. Have you ever come across anything like that in your investigations?
Well, black-eyed kids is just their way of trying to scare the crap out of you.
Okay. Yeah, because I went out to get some mail tonight.
It's not demonic. It's just their way of trying to scare you because they know it can scare you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I went out to, you know, check my mail tonight, and there's a group of three kids walking down the road, and they were acting kind of funny, but I didn't really get a look at their eyes. They were just acting very strange and watching me. I don't really know what was going on. But you know what, Dan? I just want to say thank you for coming on the show tonight at such short notice. It's a fascinating conversation. Is there anything that you want to, you know, I'm sure there is, you know, websites, books, things coming up that you want to, you know, try and, you know, sell our listeners before you say goodnight?
Sure. Of course, if anybody wants to see my pictures, go to Facebook, look me up under Dan Guthrie. You can't miss me. But as for events that come up, go to hauntedentertainments.com.
webs.com.
Yes, .webs.com. And you can keep up with our events that are coming up. And if you need speakers for your events that are coming up, please look at us first. Our people are, you'd be surprised on what they offer. And mm-hmm. what they actually cost, you know, you'd be really surprised. They're not mm-hmm. like going to go ask Jason and Grant, which they want $10,000 a piece. We're not like that. No, we're not greedy.
Those guys are like the Elvis of the paranormal world right now.
Right. So, but we're here to help educate. So keep a lookout. You can go to Pample Paranormal, just Google it, and you can find any of my you know, group sites and stuff like that, which is under Pampa, Texas Paranormal Research Society. I'm all over the web. You can't miss it. You punch up my name, you're going to find me all over the place. I've been around, and I'm going to be around for a while. I'm not going anywhere fast. So I'm here to help you. Anybody that needs help, I don't care if it's just a client or if it's a group that needs some advice on a certain case. That's what I'm here for.
Great. Fantastic. Thank you again, Dan, for coming on the show. It's been a fascinating conversation, and I can't wait to be working with you more in the future.
I'm looking forward to it, too, and may actually sit down and talk face-to-face.
Yeah. It's always best to really, you know, you get a feel for somebody when you're talking to them, you know, finding out whether or not they're full of BS or, you know, if they're the real deal. So, but thank you again, Dan, for coming on the show. And, you know, everybody, you know, go out there and just Google Dan Guthrie and you're going to find all sorts of neat stuff to look at. Pictures, audio files, videos, what have you. You're going to see all sorts of neat stuff. All right. Thanks again, Dan.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night. So, are we okay? I'm sorry. I thought we were going on break there for a second, but you know, Cheryl, if you want to come out, we could talk a little bit about the show tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
Well, I thought you were going to come back on because you were going to fill everybody in on what's coming up, but I guess we can do that here in a couple of minutes. You know, fascinating conversation tonight. I think it's a very misunderstood area in the field, demonology or the study of negative entities. Would you kind of like to say Dan's got pretty much a handle on this?
Yeah, I definitely thought it was an interesting conversation, and the topic of demonology is always fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it is to many of our listeners, but it's we were having a discussion in the chat room while you and Dan were talking, and the how do you it's like, how can you identify when you have a demon, and or mm-hmm. maybe it's just an angry or nasty spirit. It's just that it's a field that's so interesting, and it has so many sides to it that it just generates a lot of discussion, a lot of theories. Right. So yeah, it definitely, I think he had a lot of good information, a lot of good educational thoughts, theories. So yeah, loved it.
Well, I think that a really big misconception that people have concerning, human spirits or inhuman spirits, I don't really, believe in, demons or whatever, but I do believe in inhuman entities, and mm-hmm. a big misconception that people have when it comes to the strength of something that they may have in their house. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't understand that a human spirit, they might be able to move, like a little vase or whatever, mm-hmm. Across the table or knock something down. But a human spirit is just not going to have the energy to throw people up against a wall, and they're not going to have the energy to throw furniture around, and they're not going to have the energy to actually enter into your body and bend you to their will.
Okay.
And I think that's kind of like the big thing where you're going to know the difference between a human entity and a not-so-human entity is that the not-so-human entity is going to have the strength behind it. For me, I think it's because they draw their power straight from the earth rather than human spirits, which need to draw their power from, man-made electromagnetic fields or from human beings. So I definitely think that's a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, but then you have the flip side where, there are theories out there where human entities, people think human entities can draw off anger and create, poltergeist type activities or,
sure.
do that. It's just, can you really ever know? I don't know.
Well, it's like our founder, Tony Olszewski, always says, your founder of the McHenry County Paranormal Research Group, all the experts are dead.
Yeah, good point.
Nobody can really call themselves an expert in this field. It's just not possible.
Yeah. I find it fascinating when people who are sensitive or psychic feel that they can hone in on the source of the activity.
Sure.
And I like to hear about that and hear about their experiences because I think it does shed light on what is going on. And, I'm not saying 100, people who say, what's going on is 100% accurate, but I think that mm-hmm. there is the possibility that, yes, there is true connection going on, and mm-hmm. listening to that could help advance the field. So I definitely like that type of research. I think it's good. It can be very good.
Well, yeah, in my 20 years of actively investigating, I've probably met, dozens and dozens of people who claim to have, some kind of psychic ability.
Right.
And, here I am 20 years in, and I could probably count on one hand how many people I have met who have an actual, real ability. And one of those people, Daphne Urkeri, that's in a group tonight, she's mm-hmm. definitely one of them. I've worked with her now quite extensively, and she's legit. So she's one of the people that I can, count on one hand
mm-hmm.
that I know. So, but just because somebody says, "Hey, I have psychic ability," chances are they don't, especially after you test their abilities and find out allegedly what kind of abilities they have. So definitely keep your mind open, but not so open that your brain falls out, like Charles Fort once said. So so before we before we end the show tonight, could you why don't you tell us what we have coming up
Next week? We have Kurt Strutz. In fact, Dan was talking about him being a member of Hana Entertainment, and Kurt is going to join us along with Justin Krogstad. And mm-hmm. Kurt and Justin are from Paranormal Generation, and they do paranormal investigation. And now you have actually seen Paranormal Generation.
Yeah, actually, I rather like it. And what I really like is that the guys, you know, their group, they're fellow Illinoisians. You know, I like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll have an interesting conversation with them next week. I also wanted to talk about our guests coming in October. We have Diana Willett, author of a recently released book called You Can't Control the Soul. And she is going to join us on the 6th of October. And then the week after, we have William Beck, and he hosts ghost tours in Oregon City, as well as conducts paranormal research and psychic, and helps people deal with psychic phenomena and that kind of thing, that kind of research. And then following William on the 13th, on the 20th, William will be on the 13th, and on the 20th we'll have Jackie Kleeb. She is founder of Amador Shadow Hunters, and she is going to share with us some really interesting findings. She also, I believe, has some audio for us to listen to, which is very compelling. On and on. We have Marley Gibson. She actually rescheduled with us, and she'll be on November 17th. So we'll look forward to that, and we just have a list of people. We'll update more when we get closer to those people, but we're gonna have a lot of good guests.
Yes, definitely. Now, but also we kind of wanted to push this too. We were talking about this before, having a personal experience show where people send us their personal experiences, and Karen and I read them on air.
Yeah, we're going to be doing, hopefully, you know what, I know we were talking about around Halloween, I'm just not sure of the date yet, if it's going to be right before Halloween or right after, but we're going to try and get together a personal experiences show. I think that is always fascinating. I love to hear personal experiences, and for readers of Paranormal Underground magazine, you will know that we feature a lot of paranormal experiences each issue. So to me, it's an important part of paranormal research to share our experiences, to talk about them. And
Personal experience really is the bread and butter of this whole field. Because let's face it, when I was 8 years old and had my first personal experience, I didn't have an EMF detector or some way to prove that I had that personal experience. Right. You know, so for me, the whole idea of the personal experience is a lot more than just some, you know, cutesy little anecdotal story to tell while you're having beers with your buddies.
Yeah. Right. Well, we're going to try and get that show together here soon, and I think it's going to be a good one. We also plan to have another EVP show. We haven't had one of those in quite a while, but it was a big hit, and I love a good EVP. I'm sure a lot of other paranormal fans do, so we're going to try and get another one of those together before the end of the year. So stay tuned. I also wanted to plug paranormalunderground.net, because we are going to be releasing a new issue of the magazine soon. And we are also having a paranormal fiction contest. Anyone who loves to write, we're having our fourth annual paranormal fiction contest. Write a story, submit it to editor@paranormalunderground.net. And the guidelines are between 1,000 and 3,000 words. You can write on paranormal topics, spiritual topics, horror, you know, sci-fi, any of those kind of fun paranormal topics, and be eligible. You can be a professional writer, you can be an amateur, doesn't matter. As long as it's not a previously published story, you can enter your submission. So please do submit them.
And obviously we can't, I can't just, you know, write something and submit it, right?
Well, yeah, unfortunately you can't. No, at the deadline, we're kind of extending the deadline a little. I think it's going to be to October. The final deadline will be October 15th, but I'll post the final deadline on paranormalunderground.net in our forum, probably in about a week or so. But yeah, I hope everybody joins us and in reading the magazine at paranormalunderground.net and joining the fiction contest. So thank you.
Thank you. So, I hope everybody just enjoyed the show tonight. It was a very fascinating conversation with Mr. Dan Guthrie. And, just wanted to say goodnight to everybody. We're ending it a little bit early tonight, but that's going to happen every once in a while.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say thanks, you everybody, for listening. Thank you, Dan Guthrie, for being on the show at such a short notice. And you have been listening to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. See you next week.
Bye.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.